The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, December 12th, and today we're talking about Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. In the U.S., the FDA just authorized the vaccine for emergency use last night, so it's now officially the nation's first COVID-19 vaccine. Today, our guest expert weighs in on what we do and don't know about this vaccine and what to expect when the doses actually start going out to the public. You'll hear from Dr. William Moss. He's the executive director of the International Vaccine Access Center and a professor of epidemiology, both at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. So here's our conversation about the first COVID-19 vaccine going out to the American public very soon. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Dr. Moss. Thanks for coming on the Newsworthy.
My pleasure.
So I'd love to hear your take on the data and the trial results so far.
This is really exciting because we see that the vaccine in the phase 3 trial was very efficacious, 95% efficacy, as we've heard previously through the press release. But we learned that it's really it maintains that kind of protective efficacy across different groups, in older adults, in people of different racial and ethnic background. We also learn more about the safety of this vaccine. No surprises there. You know, we know many vaccines, including these messenger RNA vaccines, are what we call reactogenic. That means that they induce inflammation, both at the site of the injection and systemically. This is not uncommon. This is kind of an expected part of the immune response to these vaccines. Let's say soreness at the site of injection, or fatigue, headache, muscle pain, chills, fever. You know, these kinds of signs and symptoms that are really part of the inflammatory response. And they were all transient. They last, from 12 to 48 hours and then went away. They didn't have serious long-term complications. And I think the American public needs to be very confident that these trials were conducted in a very rigorous way, that the data were analyzed in a very rigorous way, and that we have really good data on both the efficacy and the safety of these vaccines across diverse populations.
And let's be really clear. I mean, a 95% efficacy rate compared to the flu vaccine, for example, is even higher, right?
Oh, yes. This is a grand slam in vaccines. There are very few vaccines where we see this level of efficacy, this level of protection. This is a really astonishing result, I would say, and very, very encouraging for going forward and helping us get out of this pandemic.
I mean, to that point, if everyone would be willing to get the vaccine, could we eradicate COVID-19 with that efficacy rate?
Yeah, that's a really good question, a very important question. So there are still a couple unknowns about these vaccines, and we're going to need to learn more about the Pfizer vaccine in particular going forward in order to be able to say whether that would even be possible, even if everyone accepted the vaccine. So we don't yet know, for example, how long the protection lasts. We're going to assume that it lasts several years, if not longer, but we don't yet know that. And that's why it's going to be very important to follow these trial participants as well as others who get the vaccine. We don't yet know whether these vaccines actually prevent asymptomatic infection, meaning infection with the virus, the SARS coronavirus 2, in which individuals don't develop symptoms, but may be able to transmit the virus.
And just to explain a little bit more. We know that the vaccine prevents severe illness from COVID-19, but we don't know if people without symptoms could potentially still spread it.
Yes. So we know it protects against mild, moderate, and severe disease. But you're right. We don't know whether it actually prevents asymptomatic infection. And then does it prevent transmission?
These vaccines were created in record time, which is a great thing when you're dealing with a pandemic. But also, that makes some people nervous. So do you think Americans should feel comfortable about getting these vaccines without really knowing the potential long-term effects?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. How was possible for these vaccines to be developed and approved so quickly, or at least granted an emergency use authorization? First of all, they build on technologies that have been in development for more than a decade. So there's been a lot of preparatory work before this pandemic. Second, we were able to combine some of the phases in the trials, phase one and phase two, and phase two and phase three that accelerated that process. But perhaps most importantly, when you're studying the efficacy of a vaccine in a pandemic, it just takes much shorter time to be able to see a difference in the number of cases between the vaccine recipients and the placebo recipients. And that really sped up this timeline. Lastly, there was huge investments in vaccine manufacturing concurrent with the trials. Typically, that investment is only made after a vaccine is approved. So there are a number of factors that went into the creating the feasibility to be able to have a vaccine so quickly. So I think the American public should be very confident that these vaccines have been studied very rigorously, that no shortcuts have been taken. The caveat is we do not yet know the long term. We just haven't studied individuals for the long term. Now, the vast majority of adverse events that follow vaccination occur within the first 30 to 40 days, and we have that information. The one outstanding question is whether there's the potential for any very rare long-term adverse event. And that is true. I want to be very honest about that. We don't yet know that. But given the severity of this pandemic, given the number of people dying, there is no doubt in my mind that the benefits of this vaccine and future vaccines far outweigh the risk.
Still ahead, I ask if people who already had COVID-19 should get vaccinated still, what to know about children and pregnant women, and the challenges expected once vaccines actually start going out to the public. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsor. Whether it's addictive social media, work priorities, family, or something else, it can be hard to find time for yourself. And that's why you're going to love the app Blinkist and some of its newest features, because it makes it easier to learn without wasting time. And I know you love that because you listen to The Newsworthy. Blinkist gets us. It takes the key ideas and insights from more than 4,000 nonfiction best-selling books in more than 27 different categories, and then creates just 15-minute text and audio explainers. And now they've also teamed up with the podcast creators that usually have really long episodes, so you can listen to their shows as well faster. I've recently put Blinkist on the home screen of my iPhone as a reminder to read instead of just scrolling through on social media all the time. They have best-selling books like The Barefoot Investor, The Only Money Guide You'll Ever Need, or learn more about the topics we've talked about here on the show with books like Deepfakes and The Infocalypse. And right now, you can go to Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist Premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to get 25% off in a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/news. Now back to our conversation. What percentage of the American population do you think needs to be willing to get this vaccine for it to really do its job and help us get back to somewhat normal?
It's not going to happen overnight. We're not going to hit some kind of magic number of individuals vaccinated. We're going to be able to start with smaller groups. Maybe it's indoor dining, after a certain percentage of the population are vaccinated, and then be able to allow, larger and larger gatherings, larger events. I think it's going to be some time before we can fill a sports stadium with, 40, 50,000 individuals. But I see this as being kind of a phased process over the coming year in which more and more Americans get vaccinated and we slowly get back to a more normal lifestyle.
Should people who have already tested positive with COVID-19 and possibly built up antibodies already, should they still get vaccinated?
That's it's an important question. And right now, the recommendations, I think, will be that everyone who's eligible gets vaccinated, regardless of any prior history of infection with SARS coronavirus 2 or even, you know, symptomatic COVID-19 disease. The reason for that is that we still don't know how long people are protected after they've been infected with the virus. And that probably varies widely. And it's just difficult to tell. There's no harm in receiving a vaccine after you've been exposed to the virus. It can just boost your immunity and your protection.
And just briefly, what about populations that haven't been studied yet, such as children and pregnant women?
Yes, these are very important populations. And there are some other populations, too. For example, you know, immunocompromised individuals, whether it's because of chemotherapy or HIV infection. But there's no doubt that pregnant women and children are really high priority groups to understand. Pregnant women were excluded from the phase 3 trials, but there were some women who became pregnant during the course of the trial. So we'll learn something from them. We'll learn something as we roll out the vaccine. We also know that pregnant women are higher risk of more severe disease and adverse pregnancy outcomes. So it's a population we certainly want to protect. With children, I think it's a little more straightforward. This is following a very typical process for vaccine or drug development, where the studies are first done in healthy adults and then kind of move down slowly, younger and younger age groups, adolescents. The current trials are involving children over 12 years of age, and you go down slowly just to understand the dosing, the safety, the protection in younger children. And I think we're going to see more and more data come out in early 2021 of studies involving younger and younger children with these vaccines, you know, really optimizing the dosing. And I'm hopeful that by the school term in fall of 2021, that there'll be vaccines available for school children.
What's the process going to look like? The Pfizer vaccine, I know, needs to be kept at super low temperatures. I know it requires people to get 2 doses 3 or 4 weeks apart. So should we expect some challenges and some issues with the distribution and the logistics?
There are definitely going to be challenges with the distribution and logistics. This is an enormously complex undertaking, perhaps the most complex public health undertaking in the United States and around the world. Other countries are going to face very similar challenges. So there will be federal guidelines and federal support on this, but ultimately it comes down to the states. The states will determine how they're going to allocate the vaccine doses, and there are going to be limited number of doses. There aren't going to be enough doses for everyone who should get the vaccine, even through this phased manner. So the states are going to have to decide on how best to allocate. Those decisions are going to go right down to very, very local levels. And even, you know, at a hospital, they'll have to decide who among their healthcare personnel are at highest risk and get the first doses. So there are allocation issues. There are transportation and storage issues. As you pointed out, these vaccines, and including the Pfizer vaccine, require ultra cold storage that many places don't have the capacity to do. That's one reason why it may be a little bit more logistically feasible to offer doses at hospitals and in long-term care facilities where that capacity can be built. There's going to be enormous challenges in tracking who got the vaccine. Are we reaching the eligible populations? And are they coming back for their second dose? And they should get a second dose with the same vaccine they got the first dose. We don't know anything about mixing doses, and we don't want to do that. So there are enormous challenges going ahead.
Do you have confidence that states will be able to pull this off? And does that mean some states will do it really well and some states are going to struggle?
I have confidence that states will learn how to do this well over time, maybe not right out of the gate. There's no doubt that there's going to be differences across states, one in how they decide to allocate vaccines, and two, how they're able to manage the complex logistics. And I do think some states will do it better than others. And they're going to need the support of the federal government and the CDC.
Anything else you want to add, or just a final takeaway for our audience?
People need to be aware that this is a very exciting time, very exciting vaccines, but they need to really hunker down. You know, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's wear masks. Let's socially distance or physically distance. Let's avoid large gatherings. Wash our hands frequently in the next coming months until we can get the vaccine out. If we can make it through the next few months, we will really be able to see our way out of this pandemic.
And thanks to Dr. Moss for his time and information. You can learn more about him on today's episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. And as always, we'll keep you updated on the vaccine updates and the rest of the day's news in about 10 minutes each weekday. I'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.